Talk Hollywood with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star George Murphy as Master of Ceremonies, Erskine Johnson, Eddie Bracken, Celeste Holm, and Francis X. Bushman.
Let's Talk Hollywood, presented by America's largest selling cigarette, Lucky Strike. Lucky Strike, first again with Tobacco Man. First again with Tobacco Man.
More independent tobacco experts smoke Lucky Strike regularly than the next two leading brands combined. So for your own real, deep-down smoking enjoyment, light up a Lucky, and puff by puff, you'll see.
L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke the smoke tobacco experts smoke. Lucky Strike.
First again with Tobacco Men.
And now, here's your master of ceremonies, George Murphy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hi, Everbeck. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we have four very famous Hollywood personalities who are going to try to answer the questions about Hollywood sent in by you listeners. Sitting across from me is our board of masterminds, Miss Celeste Holm, that lovely and charming actress whose great performance in Gentleman's Agreement won an Academy Award, Erskine Johnson, sometimes called Skinny Johnson, whose syndicated Hollywood column is read by millions, the beloved Francis X. Bushman, whose name is synonymous with motion pictures, and our own, he'll play his ukulele at weddings, wakes, and housewarmings, Eddie Bracken. Stand up, Eddie, and let the folks see you. That's enough. Now you may sit down. Before I put our masterminds under the hot light and begin the third degree, Hi Everback here will tell you listeners how you too can participate in Let's Talk Hollywood.
Well, send your questions about Hollywood and the movies to Let's Talk Hollywood, Box 100, Hollywood, California. If your question is used on this program, Lucky Strike sends you a 5-year subscription to Photoplay magazine. And if our masterminds fail to answer correctly, you will receive the finest RCA Victor television set, which retails for approximately $1,000 installed, or if you prefer, an RCA radio phonograph with $100 worth of records. Also, Lucky Strike will award you a year's admission for yourself and guest to your favorite hometown movie theater.
And in addition, thousands of those fine Lucky Strike cigarettes will be sent to a Veterans Administration hospital with your name and hometown especially banded on each package.
So be sure to send us your questions. And now, George Murphy, let's talk Hollywood.
Very well, here we go. We get started by moving right into high gear because Florence Smirling of Los Angeles wants us to hit the road. And here's the way we do it. As I give you masterminds the name of a picture character, you name the street that the character's name associates in your mind. Now, I will give you the name of a picture character. You tell me the street. Okay, have you got it straight? What street do you think of when I say Sherlock Holmes? Oh, look at those faces. Mr. Johnson?
Oh, dear.
Has something to do with a bakery.
Would you try a little harder now? I think if you concentrate on that, you may get something.
Baker Street.
Baker Street. Baker Street will do very nicely. Basil Rathbone played Sherlock Holmes, and he lived
in
Baker
Street. I remember. I had a bun on that street.
And now here's the next one. Listen carefully. George Apley.
Copley Square.
No.
Tremont Street.
No. You're in the right town, but you're on the wrong street.
The Common isn't a street, is it?
Well, this street goes off the Common.
Oh. Well, she's mistaken because George Apley was late getting there, you see.
That's right. That's why they call the book late. Can you think? It's a very famous street. I think that you have it. No more ideas on this street?
Those are the only streets I can think of. Commonwealth Avenue.
No, it's not
Bacon
Commonwealth.
Street.
Bacon Street is absolutely right. Bacon Street is right. Ronald Coleman gave a great performance in the picture. And now, for the last one, what street do you think of when I say or name to you Jeter Lester? Miss Holm?
Tobacco Road.
That's right.
It's not a street, but anyway.
Well, it's a road. A road,
I should have
street.
Thought of
They're
that because Speedy Riggs lives on that street.
Yes, I think possibly he could. I must say that you masterminds maneuvered those streets very well without hitting one stoplight. Now, let's see how we do. Oh, as a matter of fact, you did hit one stoplight, didn't you? Hi, what's the situation there?
Well, I think that Mr. Johnson came up with the correct answer, George.
We decided that he got in under the wire. Is that it?
I leave that up to you,
well,
George.
That suits me. I think he did. Now on this one, Mr. William Ferris of Los Angeles, California, is pinning his hopes for an RCA television set. He really wants one bad. In one of the classic pictures of the past, Ben-Hur, there was a very famous chariot race. Can you name the actor who won the race?
Johnny Longdon.
Well, this is a chariot race. In the picture, Ben-Hur.
Ramon Navarro.
Ramon Navarro is absolutely right.
What did he pay?
Now, in this
Francis
same...
X. Bushman was in that, wasn't he?
I beg your pardon. Wasn't in this Francis... same picture, excuse me, Mr. Bracken is your name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I'm trying to find
you
out...
You reminded me of Gregory Peck there for a minute. In the same picture, who was the actor who used every foul, despicable tactic that he could think of to try and upset Ramon Navarro, but this actor still lost the race.
Well, he was a nasty old man. Francis X. Bushman. But what did Ramon Navarro pay, do you know?
No, the price, they didn't have the mutuals in those days. Mr. Bushman, you were certainly a mean villain. If you did that at Hollywood Park, you'd probably be suspended for the rest of the meeting. But tell us, how long did it take you to make those chariot race scenes?
About 4 months.
4 months?
4 months.
And there was an interesting question that came up during the discussion. Those chariots, were they pulled by two or four horses?
Four.
Four. Well, I'm glad you said that because I took that side of the discussion.
Did you keep using the same horses over and over, or did they get a rest?
Well, my horses I used regularly. And the others changed them.
I see.
Were a little more powerful.
I see. Well, it might be said that you were the Johnny Longdon of the original Coliseum. Is that it? And now, here's a tricky question from David Spesser of Kenmore, New York. It should make you mastermind sit up and really take notice. This one you got to be careful. As I call off the name of a well-known motion picture animal, you are to identify it. But you have to do it by making the sound that this animal would make. Got it? Now, just for fun, start us off, Celeste. I can see that you're anxious to get in this, Celeste. Why don't you start us off? What sound would the animal Uncle Elizabeth make?
Meow.
Yes, that's exactly right. Do you know the animal?
Yes, he was the cat, and I remember Mom, and he was very sick.
Oh, yes, he was awful sick, but he got well,
thank
goodness.
Mama got him all better with some chloroform, and she didn't herself know how she did it.
That was really a tough cat. He was on the eighth life at the end of the picture. He had seven more to go. Now, what about Flicka? Flicka. Now, somebody, you're all so anxious. Yes, Mr. Bracken? Good indeed, Mr. Bracken. You keep
Johnny
that
Longman
up and learn to walk on
too.
All fours, I think I can get you entered at Hollywood Park. And here's another
Fox
one now.
Picture,
I beg your pardon?
That was the 20th Century Fox picture.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly paranoid. Right. My friend, very good. Now the next animal is Bugle Ann. Teddy? No, Bugle Ann was an animal, and I want you to give me the sound that will identify Bugle Ann.
I never heard of Bugle
Ann. Oh, yes, I'm certain that you did.
I could do it, but I'm a little hoarse.
Well, go on, do it. Do it, Mr. Bushman. No, do it a little. That's exactly right. That's the voice of Bugle Ann. Was a hound dog, a hunting dog. Wonderful picture. Now, the animals Buttons and Scheherazade. No help from the audience, please.
No.
Buttons what? And Scheherazade.
Oh, I always see the wrong pictures.
Well, this is the picture that you really must see. This is an excellent picture. It's quite new.
Northwest mounted?
Oh?
You have to name the animal.
Yes. No, I don't want you to name the animal. I want you to give me the sound that will identify the animal.
Oh, I think I know.
What is it, Mr. Bracken? That's right. He took care of both of them. One bark was for Buttons and the other was for Scheherazade. Those are the two dogs from the Emperor's Waltz.
Yeah.
That's right. Can you point to Mr. Bracken?
I understood the question. That's not fair. I thought it was the picture Scheherazade.
Oh, no. No, I said I'd give you the name of the animal. Buttons and Scheherazade. Mr. Bracken, do you point to as well as bark? I can take you hunting next year. Now, that was... I've got a couple of more questions here that Mr. Spetzer didn't think of that I'd like to try myself just for fun. These I've thrown in. How about the animal Blue Boy? Blue Boy, Miss Holmes?
Oh.
That's it. That's better to watch than it is to hear, I'm sure.
I don't know whether she sounded like a pig then, but she sure looked like one.
I think she looked rather attractive. I think she would have trouble looking anything but attractive under any circumstances.
Daddy,
how about Woody Woodpecker? Woody Woodpecker.
Woody Woodpecker?
Yes. Well, since this doesn't count, could I do it? Because I'd love to do it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
you do it, Joe.
Woodly-dee-doop. Now, masterminds, what do you know about motion picture theme music? Background music, huh? Well, let's find out the hard way. Mr. G.G. Fuller of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, sent in a question dealing with motion picture theme music. He wants you to identify the motion picture in which this was the theme. Now, with your kind permission, Dave Baskell will play you the theme. Dave, are you ready? Character. Celeste, what was the picture?
Before Eddie made that noise, I thought it was Spellbound.
No, Eddie.
That's when the bat was on the wall in The Lost Weekend.
The Lost Weekend, that was the picture.
Oh.
And now, if you listen to our... that was very good. I'm a little frightened after that scream. Now we listen to our lovely Ruth Martin, and she's going to sing a song which was the theme of a very, very fine picture. Miss Martin...
There's nothing left for me of days that used to be. I live in memory among my souvenirs.
That's sweet. Isn't that nice?
Tied
Miss
with
Martin,
blue.
I'd love to hear you sing the rest of this, but I'm afraid I see so many hands up over there. Skinny Johnson?
That was the... theme song of the picture Sam Goldwyn made, Best Years of Our Lives.
That's right. Best Years of Our Lives. You remember who played in the picture?
Gregory Peck?
No. Myrtle Loy, Freddie Blart, Hoagie Carmichael was a wonderful picture.
Hugo Carmichael.
What is it?
Hugo Carmichael?
Hugo Carmichael, that's right. Now, motion pictures have fostered some very, very great musical compositions in the past, and Harry Sukman, our pianist, is going to play one for you now. And you were to tell us what picture this beautiful piece of music came from. Now, this is a real tough one. Do you think you know it, Miss Holmes? Oh, I wish you could see Eddie Bracken's face. He's working. They're putting their hands up and taking them down before I can call them.
It's the Warsaw Concerto.
What is that?
It's the Warsaw Concerto.
Would you say that again, Mr. Bracken?
Warsaw Concerto.
Three times and write all three times.
Isn't that wonderful.
So
was that the name of the picture?
No, that's the name of the music, the composition. The picture was the Suicide Squadron.
Oh.
I as a matter of fact, I did some research on this myself to find out the man's name who wrote it.
Richard Adelson.
Adelson. Yes, I'm glad that you knew that.
Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful. That's a very tough
one. Oh, he's a wonderful.
Now, when it comes...
He did a play called Come of Age one time. It's a wonderful
yes.
play.
Uh-huh.
Did we fail that question?
What do you think, Hyde? Did they fail that question?
We didn't name the picture, did we?
Well, you didn't have to.
He didn't give us time.
No, I think as long as you named
the theme.
That was necessary. I think that'll be acceptable. You think that's acceptable?
Well, George, the framing of the question was that we must identify the motion picture of which this music was the theme.
I see.
And so I leave it up to you at
this
point.
I hardly gave them time. I was so excited at the expression on Mr. Bracken's face that I think I should say mea culpa three times, and we'll admit that as a correct answer.
All right, George.
Now, when it comes to movies, I always say everyone to his own taste or vice versa. Now, some like to go and laugh, some like to cry, and some of us like to go to the pictures to kind of get in the mood and hold hands a little bit. But one thing that's for sure, we all like the cartoon shorts. Which brings us to this question from R.F. Tracy of Chicago, Illinois. Now listen to this, masterminds, very carefully. In Sweden, he is called Moussé Pig. In France, Michel Souris. And in Japan, he is called Mickey Coochie. What
Mickey
do Americans Rooney. Call him?
Mickey Rooney.
No, Mr. Bracken, I'm terribly sorry. Miss Holm?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse is right. Mickey Mouse is right.
Before George Murphy returns with more questions to baffle our masterminds, a word about America's largest selling cigarette.
Lucky Strike, first again with Tobacco Man.
First again with Tobacco Man. More independent tobacco experts smoke Lucky Strike regularly than the next two leading brands combined. Yes, more than the next two leading brands combined.
And in addition, Lucky Strike alone holds the distinction, as it has for many years, of being America's largest selling cigarette. America's largest selling cigarette.
This leadership of Lucky Strike, with smokers like you and me, and with the experts too, is a tribute to the fine quality tobacco in each and every Lucky Strike cigarette. So for your own real, deep-down smoking enjoyment, light up a Lucky, and puff by puff, you'll see.
L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And fine tobacco is an important reason why Lucky Strike is America's largest selling cigarette. So smoke the smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
First again with Tobacco Man.
And now back to Erskine Johnson, Celeste Holm, Eddie Bracken, Francis X. Bushman, and the man in the middle, George Murphy.
Thank you, Hi. It's thesping time now on Let's Talk Hollywood, and I think we're in for a treat. This question from Irwin Seltzer of Clayton, Missouri, calls for some emoting by our guests and some very sharp remembering by all you masterminds. Miss Holm and Mr. Bushman, here are some lines of dialogue. Now, will you please read yours first, Mr. Bushman, and Celeste, you pick up your cue when you feel that the cue has come to you. Mr. Bushman, if you please.
Look, love, what envious streaks to lure the severing clouds in yonder east. Night's candles are burnt out, and jocund day stands tiptoe on the misty mountain tops. I must be gone and live, or stay and die.
Yon light is not daylight, I know it, I. It is some meteor that the sun exhales. To be to thee this night a torchbearer, and light thee on the way to Mantua.
All right, masterminds, what picture is that from?
Romeo.
Skinny? Mr. Bushman. He had his hand up first.
And Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet is absolutely correct. And I would like to compliment both you and Miss Holm for your reading. That was very good. Miss Holm?
This was also a play before it was a movie.
Oh, yes. Yes. I understand that it was. I understand that the original movie, though, had additional dialogue written for it. Now, maybe I should have made that a little tougher. You got it so quick. Maybe I should have had Mr. Bracken read Mr. Bushman's lines. Say, that's not a bad idea. Mr. Bracken, would you read Mr. Bushman's lines? Give him the paper, please. Will you, Bush?
Look, my love.
Did you notice how hard I had to coax him to do this? I don't see that written in the script, Mr. Bracken.
What is that? What envious stakes is that? Oh, streaks. Streaks.
I think that's enough, Mr. Bracken. The way you read it, no one, and even Shakespeare, I'm
like
afraid,
it?
Would recognize it. Oh, yes, I love it, but I think it was better the way it was done in the first place.
First time Shakespeare ever got a laugh.
But getting back... No, that's not quite true. There are many, many humorous passages. Getting back to Romeo and Juliet, Mr. Seltzer would like you to name the team which brought Shakespeare's immortal lines to sound pictures. Mr. Johnson?
The late Leslie Howard and Norma Shearer.
That is right. That was an MGM picture and a wonderful picture. Now, here's a kind of a cutie from Dr. Harold D. Rosenbaum of Denver, Colorado. The doctor wants to know, if you were looking for a man who owned some racehorses, would you contact Johnny O'Clock, Johnny Eager, Johnny O'Rourke, Johnny Get Your Gun, or Oh Johnny, Oh Johnny, Oh?
I'd contact Johnny O'Crosby.
Johnny O'Crosby. Think real hard. You want the man that that owned racehorses. Johnny O'Clock, Johnny Eager, Johnny O'Rourke, or Johnny Get Your Gun.
Is that Solly O'Rourke?
No, Johnny
Alan
O'Rourke.
Ladd's picture?
Johnny O'Rourke.
I'm afraid it is Solly O'Rourke.
Solly O'Rourke? Solly O'Rourke, I stand corrected. You're absolutely right. That's Alan Ladd. Uh-huh. That is right. And the doc wants to know further where to get a recipe for making glug. Now, this is spelt G-L-U-G. Should he contact the baker's wife, Tarzan's mate, the farmer's daughter, or Thunderhead, or son of Flicka? Miss Holm?
I can tell him how to make glug.
Well, that, I'm sorry, is
what
not the question. Should he contact the baker's wife, Tarzan's mate, the farmer's daughter, Thunderhead, or the son of Flicka? Mr. Johnson.
Glug is what Esther Williams does when she disappears under the water.
That may be what it sounds like. That is not, yes, Eddie
Brackett?
I think
Brackett. That was from the farmer's daughter with Loretta Young.
Loretta Young, that is right. Incidentally, Miss Young won an Academy Award for her part in The Farmer's Daughter.
And I thought it was for making
speaking of Academy
glug.
Awards, I beg your pardon, Mr. Brackett?
I thought it was for making glug.
No, no. Well, that may have had something to do with it, but speaking of Academy Awards, Celeste, after seeing the snake pit over at 20th Century Fox
have
the other night...
Have you seen it?
Yes.
I haven't.
Oh, I see everything. Well, you'll love it. Believe me, you'll love it, and everybody within the sound of my voice will love it when they see it. It's a great picture.
Another Academy Award for Celeste Holmes.
That's right. I sincerely hope so. Now, this question comes from Mrs. Arlene Jacobs of Santa Monica, California. According to the newspapers, magazine, and billboard advertisements, who, quote, destroyed every woman he touched? Celeste?
Zachary Scott.
Zachary Scott is good. Who
not
said...
Not true, but
who said
picture.
You... I sincerely hope it isn't true. Who said, you can't push my boys around?
Leo DeRocher.
Now, let's think. You can't push my boys around. Celeste?
Fighting Father Dunn, Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien is right. And what people were, quote, trapped on a train of terror? Skinny?
Everybody over at RKO.
No, I think... I think that you might say there is a little uncertainty, but I don't think that they've gotten to the point where they feel that they're trapped on a train of terror.
RKO made the picture.
RKO made the picture, yes.
Merle Oberon.
Yes.
Charles Corbin.
Yes. Do you remember the name of the picture?
Berlin Express.
That's good. Berlin Express. You people are really amazing. You're so smart and bright today. Now, William B. Curry of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, takes us back a few years to the good old days when pictures were called flickers. When 15 cents bought little Johnny a bag full of peanuts, a pocket full of jawbreakers, three dill pickles, and a whole afternoon at the corner picture show. Now, start thinking back, masterminds. Remember some of the announcements that were always being flashed on the silent screen. All right, before they started the picture, the management flashes what announcement on the screen to make it possible for the males in the audience to get an unobstructed view.
Ladies?
No help, please. Mr. Bushman?
Ladies will please remove their hats.
Yes. I think Mr. Bushman was there. Now, what slide came on when the man up in the booth took time out to reload the projection machine? What slide did they use for that?
Just a moment, please.
That's right. And generally they said a little more to it. I think that answer is very acceptable. They said, just a moment, please, while we change reels. They had no secrets in the movies in those days. They let you know everything that was going on. I think maybe today sometimes there are too many secrets. They should let the actors know more about the part. And now we come to a hair-raising moment. We see the screaming heroine chained to the tracks on a high trestle. A railroad train is roaring down at her. The box of dynamite is about to blow up. And then suddenly on the screen, there's flashed this title. What is it?
Kilroy was here.
No. Skinny Johnson?
Errol Flynn will be back next week.
No. No. Think real hard now. This is just before the dynamite goes off, before the train hits her. Eddie Bracken?
Could be continued next week.
That's pretty close.
Continued next week.
No, that's pretty close. You have to get the wording on this one, I'm sorry. Because this wording was exact. I'm going to give it to you. Be sure to see the next episode at this theater. And, hi, what happens in this case?
Well, the masterminds missed that question, George. So from Lucky Strike to Mr. William B. Curry of 2341 East Cumberland Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, goes another RCA Victor television set, which sells for approximately $1,000 installed, or an RCA Victor radio phonograph combination with $100 worth of records, and a year's admission to his favorite hometown theater for Mr. Curry and a guest.
And 39,000 Lucky Strike cigarettes will be sent to all the patients of the Veterans Administration Hospital in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Each package is specially branded with Mr. Curry's name and hometown. Our best wishes go along with those Luckies.
George Murphy will be back in just a moment, but first...
Lucky Strike, first again with Tobacco Man.
A recent impartial survey shows that more independent tobacco experts smoke Lucky Strike regularly than the next two leading brands combined. Yes, more than the next two leading brands combined.
First again with the men who can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike. First again with Tobacco Man.
That's what the survey shows. Now here's a statement recently made by Mr. Fred Leonard Evans, an independent tobacco buyer from Danville, Virginia.
At every auction I've attended, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine, ripe, mellow tobacco you can't beat for smoking quality. I've smoked Lucky's 19 years.
So for your own real, deep-down smoking enjoyment, look to America's largest-selling cigarette. Light up a Lucky, and puff by puff, you'll see.
L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. Lucky Strike.
First again with Tobacco Man.
First again with Tobacco Man. That reminds me, we need another carton of Luckies.
Now, while High Averback is getting the final score, I want to thank Erskine Johnson, Eddie Bracken, Celeste Holm, and Francis X. Bushman for being with us tonight. All right, High, how did we do?
Well, George, the score will be right up. But first, a word to our listeners. Here's how you can join in on the fun. Send your questions with your answers about Hollywood and motion pictures to Let's Talk Hollywood, Box 100, Hollywood, California. Be sure to include the name of your favorite hometown movie theater. If your question is used and our masterminds fail to answer it correctly, you will receive the following awards. An RCA Victor Eyewitness television set worth $1,000 installed. Or if you prefer, an RCA Crestwood radio phonograph combination with $100 worth of records. And a year's admission for you and a guest to your favorite hometown theater.
And in addition, thousands of those Lucky Strike cigarettes will be sent with your compliments to a Veterans Administration hospital.
Each person whose question is used on this program will receive a 5-year subscription to Photoplay magazine. All questions become the property of Let's Talk Hollywood, and we reserve the right to edit your questions to fit the program. And we'll select those questions which, in our judgment, are most suitable and interesting. In the event of similarity, we will be the sole judge of the question used.
I have just been handed the score, and tonight Lucky Strike has sent all our prizes to one winner and to the patients in one Veterans Administration hospital. 39,000 Lucky Strike cigarettes have been sent with the winner's name and hometown banded on each packet. That makes a grand total of 477,000 Lucky Strike cigarettes sent to Veterans Hospital so far this season. So be on hand again next week for another session of Let's Talk Hollywood, when we will have as our guests Edith Gwynn, Eddie Bracken, Walter Wanger, and Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. This is George Murphy, your man in the middle, saying goodnight.
George Murphy appears by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, produces the Technicolor musical A Date with Judy, starring Wallace Beery, Jane Powell, and Elizabeth Taylor. This is Basil Rysdale speaking for Lucky Strike, America's largest selling cigarette.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the rarest privileges anyone can have is to be able to say, I saved the life. By now we all know what is meant by the word CARE, C-A-R-E. So let's keep on sending our contributions to C-A-R-E, CARE, New York. Let's give again and save another life. CARE, New York.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.